Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And you... guess what day it is? No, we're past hump day, but it's another special day. This is Tech Thursday on G's Power Hour. It happens the third Thursday of each month on our show here. And we are lucky again to have Mr. Burton Kelso. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Always great to have you on. So let's get going. So you had some interesting stuff happen that we're going to talk about. So get us started.
Yeah. So last week I got to be part of Toyota's entrepreneurial entourage, which highlights African-American-owned businesses. It kicked off in the Kansas City metro area, and I know people are wondering, what does this have to do with technology? But I got to drive around a Toyota Hybrid Camry for a week, which I guess is considered a smart technology car or a smart car, loaded with a bunch of bells and whistles. But at the same time, I got to pick one of our customers, an African-American female entrepreneur, and kind of highlight her business and showcase how the Toyota could definitely help her out in her business using the smart technology. So, I mean, have you ever driven a hybrid car before, G?
Because I used to do this thing called mystery shopping. And, yeah, I got a chance to do that once. Just kind of had some questions about the whole hybrid thing. So what can you tell us about your experience? Were you impressed? Did you have concerns? How did that work?
Well, one of the concerns that I was told about the hybrid is that they run pretty quiet. So I was instructed by Toyota to make sure that the vehicle was off before I left it, because they run so quiet, it's hard to tell if it's on or off. Now, it'll engage with the regular engine once you get to going, but once you turn that car on, or if it's idle, it'll just shut off and run on the battery, so you can barely hear the thing running.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Did you have any times when you had some concerns that you were going to lose power? You know, because I'm not really familiar with the hybrid vehicles. One of the things when I was testing was I was told that it in some cases it's beneficial, but in some cases it's not. It depends on if you do a lot of city driving or you do a lot of highway driving. You know, so talk to me a little. Did you do like any more of one than the other, and what were your concerns?
I did a great deal of both. I drove around the city quite a bit, and I actually took the car from Kansas City to Wichita, Kansas, so I got to do obviously quite a bit of highway driving. So, and I drive quite a bit around the KC metro area, so I definitely got to take it on the highway. On a funny note, I almost ran out of juice on the way to Wichita, because the car told me I had a specific set amount of mileage, and the more I got going, the more the gas tank just kept going down the E. And
wow.
Most vehicles, I think you get like 40 miles. You're down to maybe a couple of gallons of gas, and the check engine light came on. I think this thing it came on at 10 miles, I had to hightail it to the nearest gas station. Now, what was interesting about the Camry, G, is that as soon as the low fuel indicator came on, it immediately used GPS to find the nearest gas station closest to me. So I was able to navigate to a Phillips 66, and I'm sure I was on fumes, because I think the interesting thing about the hybrid, it just kind of helps compensate as far as helping you get longer gas mileage. But I think when you reach the end of the road as far as gas is concerned, then you really don't have that much time to go fuel up. So remember the old adage of, let's say, well, you need to keep at least a half a tank of gas in your car, then with the hybrid, you definitely don't want to go below a quarter of a tank.
Right, yeah. It sounds like you were on a wing and a prayer, as they say.
I was. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. I thought I was going to be stranded on the side of the road.
Yeah.
But,
my mom was always one of those, make sure before you go to bed you have enough gas in the tank just in case there's an emergency or whatever. And I'm like, no, I understand now. Perfect.
Right. So one of the things that I will say that was a benefit of having a hybrid, I mean, the car got 50 miles to the gallon easily.
Mm.
I mean, so it really got great gas mileage. It's got a small, like most mid-sized cars, it's got a fairly small tank in it. I think it's like 12 gallons. But, most hybrids get at least up to 50 miles per gallon, which is great. And, as far as one of the showcases are concerned, if you are an entrepreneur like both of us, we drive quite a bit. So 50 miles per gallon really speaks volume, because if you've got a SUV or another gas-guzzling type of vehicle, you could just spend a lot of money on gas. And your fill-ups are I guess you could say astronomical, too, because I know with my 2018 Jeep, I'm putting in $50 to $60 every time I hit the gas tank. With the hybrid, it's considerably less.
But what I was going to ask you, how often do you have to charge the car?
Well, it's self-charging with a hybrid. Now, if it was an electric vehicle like a Tesla, then you do have to plug it into a charging station. But with a hybrid, you've got the regular engine in it and you've got the battery. So it pretty much charges itself as you drive down the road. But it doesn't charge itself like a Tesla where it'll run on gasoline, and then when it runs out of gas, you run on battery. The battery is just to power the car when you're, in low driving situations. But when you need power, then it'll engage the engine and utilize gasoline that way.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, what is the trade-off? For example, if it's self-charging, that means that battery probably is it being used less or more, and what's the capacity of the battery?
Well, I think you're thinking of the battery as it's actually – because the battery never really runs down because it's constantly charging. So it's
right.
Not like – right. So the trade-off is that the battery basically helps the car get – better gas mileage because it's not utilizing the engine as much. It's flip-flopping between the battery and the engine.
Okay. All right.
So when you run out of gas, then that's the end of the road. It's not like you run out of gas and then you got maybe 20 miles on battery. It's just when the gas goes, and the car is just a done deal. It doesn't exclusively depend on the battery. It's just there to kind of help compensate and get you going from point A to point B.
So now, did this experience make you more or less inclined to purchase a hybrid?
Oh, it made me more inclined to purchase a hybrid. I mean, it's almost to the fact now that my mindset is that a driving entrepreneur, like let's say you're an IT professional like myself, or a real estate agent or any other professional that drives around quite a bit, like if you had a delivery vehicle or a delivery service, I mean, you mm-hmm. would definitely save quite a bit of money if you switch to a hybrid as opposed to just driving a regular gasoline car.
Okay. Now, and it's where did you find that you got the most benefit? I'm looking at city versus, you know, highway mileage. Where did you find that you got the most benefit?
I would say both. I mean, I think it benefited both city driving and highway driving. It's not like when I hopped on the highway, I just got more gas mileage. I think it's highway. I think it's maybe 5 miles a gallon more on the highway.
Okay.
Versus city driving. Yeah, because, you know, with most standard gas-powered vehicles, there's what, at least a 10 miles per gallon difference between highway and city?
Yeah, approximately, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty much equal. So you're talking about maybe 5 miles to the gallon more, but just, I mean, it was just equal, both. But I think the other thing that people worry about hybrids is they look at, say, Priuses or, Nissan's Leaf is a purely electric car, but many people don't think those cars have get up and go. And
yeah.
The Camry, it definitely had power. I mean, it was incredible.
Oh, that's
I was shocked.
Yeah. Cause that would be the one thing that also would bother me too, because I feel like that's one thing I'm really not willing to sacrifice. I had one of the older cars that had, I guess 8 horses or whatever it is that you get. I'm used to having a little bit more power behind my car. So that's one of the things that did concern me.
I didn't think it would have that much power either, because when you turn it on and you just kind of hear it humming, you're thinking, well, this car doesn't really have that much power in it. But yeah, once you push the pedal to the metal, it definitely takes off and it goes.
Good. Okay.
I think one of the things that we did with Ruth, one of our customers, Ruth Ramsey, she owns a magazine called Our Health Matters, and it's geared towards people of ethnic backgrounds to basically help them stay on top of health issues that affect minorities,
mm-hmm.
you know, such as high blood pressure, diabetes, things of that nature. But it runs the whole gambit. But every month, or every quarter, I should say, she goes out and delivers the copies of the magazine to different customers of hers. So, yeah, we definitely took the Toyota around, and we dropped off copies of the magazine. And just all the features of the car, like, for example, when we crossed over from Missouri to Kansas, the car, like, talks to you and says, hey, now you're in Kansas. And when we cross back over to Missouri, it's like, oh, you're in Missouri now, you know?
Mm.
So, I mean, it's just all sorts of bells and whistles that are just, that would really, I guess, enhance the life of any entrepreneur out there that basically spends a lot of time in their vehicle, like you and I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's all I need is something else yakking away at me to just, you know. Okay. So
I love that, yakking away.
Yeah, Kansas, like, it's okay. What am I supposed to do? Stop and have a dance party? Okay. Anyway, no. But I it's nice to get, you know, someone trusted that, you know, can say, hey, you know, I like this for this reason. I didn't like it for that reason. And you know, yes or no, rather than some voice or some paid person on the television, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. So now, would you, if you were making a purchase, would you look specifically at that model or that make, or would you look at something different? And why?
Yeah, I would think I would take a look at a Toyota. I mean, I'm not opposed to any of the import cars out there, but I mean, I was really impressed with what was included in the Camry. And I will say that there were, I think, five of us influencers in the Kansas City area that got to drive around a Toyota. There was the Highlander, the Avalon, there was the standard Camry, and then of course the hybrid Camry, and then there was a Prius that was part of it.
Okay.
But I mean, I would definitely take a look at it because I mean, you know, just for the price tag and just for everything that was offered, I mean, it equaled my 2018 Jeep, and my Jeep is it's a $50,000 vehicle, and this Toyota is right around 30 or 32. So I mean, it's you know, it's quite a bit of difference. You know, obviously we're comparing an SUV to a you know, to a sedan, but still, just everything that was included was it was phenomenal.
Yeah, my husband, he picks at me because I'm like, see, he's like, you want to get a Jeep? I'm like, nope, I want something with doors on it. You know, it's like, anyway, we're going to take a quick break, but I appreciate getting that insight because, I have considered hybrids and electrical cars and electric cars and just, you know, kind of mulling it over. I'm not sure if I'm there yet, but you know, it is something to consider, and I'm sure the technology is going to get increasingly better as time goes on. By the time that I'm ready for it, but yeah, I'm already struggling with my car taking over my phone. You know, whether I want it to or not. So, but anyway.
Right.
We're going to take a break. We're here with Burton Kelso. It is Tech Thursday here on G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. If you have questions for Burton, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for being with us this morning. We are here with Mr. Burton Kelso. It's Tech Thursday month on G's Power Hour. And I wanted, since we were talking about this particular smart car, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other, I guess you could say, smart cars out there and the features. I guess one of the things that I'm concerned about is like I said before, the car taking over. Things that are designed to run smoothly with a car, with the technology, what happens when the technology fails? And I guess that's one of the concerns that I have. Can you speak a little on that?
Well, I think most of your smart vehicles now still have human interaction because I think, you know, one of the things that you may be thinking about is the problems Tesla has had in the past with their smart driving vehicles. So they had their vehicles driving around the road in California, and of course there's been a couple of accidents, and I don't know if there's been any fatalities with that, but if you're behind the wheel of a smart car in this day and age, you definitely don't want to turn your car so it'll auto drive with you in the passenger seat. You definitely need to stay behind the driver's seat and make sure that if something happens where if the auto braking feature doesn't pop up or lane assist doesn't work, that you can quickly grab the wheels and take control of it. I know when I was driving the Toyota, it does actually have a feature where it's got lane assist, where the steering wheel will actually move you back in your proper lane. So, I mean, you could let the car drive down the road by itself, but there are safety features built into it that if you're weaving too much down the road, the car is going to start beeping and sending alerts saying that perhaps you need to put your hands back on the wheel, and it will, and if you are weaving very, if you're weaving a lot, then it's going to start making you take a break. It's just going to keep sending alerts until you just pull over and shut the car off.
Okay, so no hands out through the sunroof type of thing.
Right, and I think, you know, Toyota and a few other auto companies do have the lane assist in there, but the safety features of making sure that, A, you're behind the wheel rather than trying to, recreate an episode of Knight Rider, you have to be behind the wheel. Or else
you have to be our age to know what that is, don't you, Burton?
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, okay. It's a TV show. Go look it up. Anyway.
Or if there's on YouTube with people doing stupid stuff with Teslas. Like, I know there was a husband and wife, and the husband had the car on auto drive, and he told his wife to walk out the front of the car to make sure that it would stop, and it did. I think it hit her one time. Not bad, but it just kind of knocked her down. But still, smart vehicles right now haven't reached that point where you could just tell the car to go with the GPS and put the cruise control and go. You do have to be behind the wheel. That way you've got some form of safety in mind. I mean, you still have to be a responsible driver with these vehicles.
Yeah. Because even with all of our faults, there's nothing like having human accountability for, you know, whatever it is, whether it's the car, whatever the case may be. I know people keep saying, we're going to go to self-driving cars and all that kind of stuff. And how some people actually view them as being safer than having an actual human driving behind the wheel. I'm just not there yet.
Right. And I think, I don't think people should be wanting that either. I think what we should be working for are creating cars that definitely are going to keep us safer on the roads. And I think that's where we are currently right now as far as smart technology is concerned with most automobiles. Because think about the features that you've got in all the class of vehicles that are smart. You've got the lane assist. You've got, you've got auto braking in some vehicles. I know the Toyota has it. My Jeep doesn't have it. And auto braking meaning that, like when I was driving to Wichita, you could set the cruise control on the car, and it would stay at the speed that you set the cruise at until you encountered another car. And then the radar within the Toyota would kick in, and your vehicle would slow down automatically without you putting brakes on it. And it would slow down at a good pace to keep you from rearing that car. So even if the braking system failed, or the auto braking system failed, you would get the alert in enough time that you would be able to slam on the brakes and avoid an accident. But with the radar feature in the Toyota, if you moved from behind a car and there was open road, it would just pick up and just continue driving. And like I said, you could use that feature like you were auto driving from point to point, but at the same time, the car is not going to let you just go hands off and go take a nap in the back seat. It's more a safety feature than it is an actual, let's turn this car into something that's automatically driving.
Okay, so you still have to kind of watch for things to come with those, I guess you could say, smart cars or whatever you want to call them. I was trying to look up some information, and actually, when I kind of Googled smart car, the only thing that actually came up right away was this one smart car that's actually by a company, I guess, or a maker called Smart, I think, or whatever. But
I know you're talking about those little itty bitty cars, right?
Yeah.
You've got to, when you do a search on that, you've got to Google smart technology car, because it's considered smart technology, not just a smart car.
Before we go on, I wanted to ask. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you before. Go ahead.
Interrupt each other.
I'm shutting up.
You go first, ladies first.
Okay, thank you. You're a kind gentleman. I was going to ask you, do you know whether or not Toyota is doing this particular program in other parts of the country?
They're going to, yeah, I think they're eventually going to start rolling it out in other parts of the country here pretty soon. I'm not sure when, but they will, because this program was really a success.
Okay, all right. Well, I know we were supposed to be talking about some other things today, hackers and passwords. That just doesn't get old. It doesn't. I mean, because it's just an ongoing battle.
It doesn't. I think part of the challenge with passwords is the simple fact that people know that their passwords get hacked or stolen, but I don't think people really understand what methods hackers use in order to get access to your passwords. Because we're like, we worry about our passwords, but there's really no explanation. And part of what wants me to talk about that is because we have a customer that is just really struggling with her system and, you know, it being hacked. And I don't think it was ever really hacked, but I just think with all of the scary stuff that you see in the media as far as man-on-the-middle attacks or, you know, just cyber breaches and things of this nature, that it can definitely put you on high alert. So, yeah, this week we had to deal with a customer, and she just was insistent that her computer had been hacked and that her whole network and her whole business have been compromised by an outsider. But, you know, the challenge is that the businesses of a small town where if you roll the bowling ball down Main Street, it's not going to hit anything. So, I mean, obviously, you know, there was no one that was infiltrating her system. So we got her peace of mind by just sitting down and simply explaining how some of these data breaches occur and, you know, what steps you can do to make yourself safe. And I think, you know, obviously knowledge is power. So the more you know about how hackers are working, it's going to help keep you more secure. So one of the ways that hackers get your passwords is what's called brute force, which basically means a hacker either installs a program on your computer or smart device that tries every variation of a password, or they get a hold of your device and they just try to figure out what your password is.
Okay. So with
brute force, I mean, it's not common because obviously you would have to have access to the device, but I think people have to understand that they do perform brute force attacks. So if someone got a hold of your system or you clicked on something you weren't supposed to, one of the methods that they could use is to do a brute force attack. Now, the good thing about a brute force attack is that the longer your password is, the longer it's going to take someone to actually figure out what your password is or it's going to take the software longer to figure out what your password is. So, I mean, obviously we are in a day and age where people are starting to get smarter about their online passwords. So you're starting to see brute force attacks less and less.
No, I'm trying. I'm really trying to get better with passwords, and I still haven't used those, I guess, little helpful things that, I guess, keep all of your passwords in one place, because I'm just bothered. It's just kind of, I'm not really quite there yet. But then I find myself trying to have different passwords for everything, and then trying to remember all those different passwords and then having to change the password because I've forgotten what the password was, you know.
Right. One of the easiest things that you can do as far as password management, I know we talked about LastPass, but I can't remember if we talked about actually using either Firefox or Google Chrome as your password manager. Because Chrome and Firefox have been modified in recent months that you can actually save your password information within your browser. So that way, when you go to your online website, the information's already stored and you can put it in, or it'll automatically put it in for you. But at the same time, you can definitely go and print out your passwords from your web browser password manager. And it's just, I think it's just an easier way to manage those passwords because obviously people are used to web browsers. So it's just easier for them to go in as long as they know how to go into settings and change the information that's in there.
Okay. Yeah, because I get asked almost regularly because I do mostly use Chrome, and do you want to save the password? And I'm like, no, I don't want you saving my password.
Well, you should have to save a password, G. It's because it's all on your computer. It's not like floating out in the web somewhere.
Okay.
So someone would, if you had a weak password, obviously, if someone got on your computer and you had a weak password, then they would be able to get that stuff. But they're just not going to be able to reach in over the internet and see what password you have stored. You can start saving those passwords.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you explained it because I did not necessarily realize that they were talking about saving it to my computer. I was thinking about it's just out there, you know. Saving it. Someone's got a hold of it. Anyway. We are going to take a quick break. It is Tech Thursday here on D's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. The number, if you have questions for Burton Kelso, our Tech Thursday guru, 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. And we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dibbs Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us. It is Tech Thursday here on the G's Power Hour show, and I'm here with Burton Kelso, the technology expert. He was telling us a little bit about smart cars, which I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, there's so many questions and this not being sure in terms of what's what in terms of smart vehicles. So I thank you for, you know, giving us, I guess, a hands-on, a firsthand, you know, insight into, you know, how they work and the benefits and drawbacks and stuff. So I really appreciate that. And then now we're talking about hackers and passwords. And I wanted to ask you, too, because we have talked in the past about the smart technology at home and hackers getting to those, whether it be baby monitors or the doorbell systems. You know, is what types of steps can be taken for those types of technologies? Because it is a little scary because that, and the cameras that you put up inside your home, because it feels a little bit more invasive.
Yeah, and smart home technology, the simplest and easiest thing to do is to make sure that your home network is secured. So if you have a router from your cable provider, you want to go through and personalize the settings of that router so that it's just not using the standard login from your router. Because like Spectrum and Comcast too, they have the wireless name and the password on those devices. So if you have company over, or even if an intruder gets into your house, then you want to make sure that you change the default information so someone can't log in and get your stuff. It's
okay.
Sometimes it can happen where people can log in and look at your remote cameras or baby monitors and things of that nature. But it all starts with having a secure network, and you might want to even hide the name of your network so that your neighbors can't even see, or no one can see what your network, that you even have a wireless network. As long as you make sure that you've got a secure router or just any other router and make sure that you're not sharing your network information, then that information is going to stay safe. Now, I know there have been instances with, like, say, the Ring doorbell where, like, internal people can see what's going on, and, you know, you really can't prevent that. The main thing that you want is just to make sure that you protect it from outside sources, like neighbors or just people driving by.
Okay. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I have been a little bit unsettled. You know, the whole technology thing is unsettling sometimes for me. Some days I'm good with it. But, when I have issues, we switched over and got the Spectrum TV, the internet, and I've had some issues where I've had to go back in and I guess put in the password in order to get reconnected or whatever. I don't know if it's a problem with the modem or router or whatever. But when I have to go back in, all these different – list of all of these different other routers that I have no clue, they all pop up. And I don't know if – and I've just always been curious, does that have to do with signal strength? And also – if I see, you know, their router or their information on my TV screen, can they see mine? And is there a way to prevent that?
Yeah, if most routers broadcast a wireless signal so that it's easy for you to connect to your wireless network. So, like, if you get a new computer or a smart device, if your wireless name is broadcast, it just makes it easier for you to connect to it. And same thing with, like, coffee shops. If you go to the coffee shop, the wireless name is being broadcast so that you can easily connect to it. But in a home environment or even in an office environment, sometimes it's best just to hide that wireless name so that other people don't even know it exists. It just makes you a little bit more secure. It's a pain in the butt to try to connect to it once you hide it, but just for the simple fact of security, it's probably a good practice to get into as far as logging into your router and making sure that you turn off the broadcasting of your wireless name or what's called your SSID. And that's pretty simple to do, and it's just an easy step that you can take to make sure that you're protected. Now, like I said, just because someone can see your wireless name doesn't mean that they can log into your network unless you don't have a password on it. But most modern routers now automatically come with password information on it. So someone would have to figure out your password to get into your wireless network.
Okay. All right, good.
So you don't have to worry about that.
All right. Okay.
So some of the other security ways are ways that hackers can get into your information is data breaches. And obviously this is something that's pretty common because we read about data breaches almost every day in the news. But when a company has been negligent and obviously hasn't done a good job of protecting their customers' data, so it's important to make sure that you know which data breaches have occurred so that you can take steps to change your password. Because with the data breach, the only thing you need to do is change your password, and then that will keep you safe. But there's a website you can go to, and I know we've talked about this on the show, is a website called Have I Been Pwned, which is not O-W-N-E-D, it's P-W-N-E-D, and you can type in any email address that you use, and it'll let you know if it was part of a data breach or not. So that way you can go in and protect yourself and change your password.
Have I been, okay, yeah, we did talk about this, but I still don't get, have I been what?
Owned, which is, it's like, have I been owned, but you replace the O with a P.
I see it. Well,
yeah.
The
O and P are right next to each other on the keyboard, so it's easy to make a typo and type in pwned as opposed to owned.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
But that website will allow you to go in and you can check and see which email addresses have been part of a data breach. And like the scenario we had to deal with this past week with the paranoid customer, she thought because it was on her email was on Have I Been Pwned that her information was out there. And I'm like, no, if it shows up on Have I Been Pwned, it's more like, you know, maybe a couple of thousand people knew your email address, but now several million know your email address. And that's not the problem. The problem is if passwords have been leaked with that email information, and it's a problem if you don't change your password if you see that your email address was part of a data breach.
Okay. I'm looking it up. I'm posting it now. So, all right. So
then common way that, and this is like how most people get hacked, is through phishing schemes. You know, you get the email where it looks like it comes from a legitimate source. It's not. You give up all your information, and then it's out there. And that's, you know, that's almost like the number one way most people are hacked. You know, data breaches are top on that list too, but, you know, but there's, other than Equifax and Facebook, there's not one single company that has, like, half of the country's information on it. So, but phishing is easy because most emails are socially engineered to get you to click on a link in an email. So if you're not paying attention or if you see a logo that you trust, you're going to trust what's in that email. So keep in mind with phishing emails, you can't get your information compromised if you just look at an email. But when you go to click on links in emails and they take you to malicious websites, that's when the trouble begins.
Yeah, I've had some issues lately where I've gotten emails from people that, and after the first one, I kind of wised up a little bit, but someone that I associate with the Realtor Association, and they were, and it was interesting. I got more suspicious as the conversation progressed. It was like, you know, can you do me a favor? It kind of starts out like that. A lot of them, it seems, that I've gotten lately, can you do me a favor? And, you know, I mistakenly responded to the first one. And they asked about, you know, going to get gift cards and the denominations in terms of the gift cards that they wanted you to get and where, you know, and how they wanted you to, you know, do it, the whole process. And so I got, you know, so what I ended up doing when the first one happened, as the conversation progressed, I ended up calling the person. And I'm like, well, what are you doing right now? Like, I'm in a meeting. I'm like, are you emailing me? Like, no, you know, so.
It's very prevalent phishing in your industry, in the real estate industry. Oh, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, and the challenge, I think the challenge for many realtors is that realtors are good at dealing with people, but not necessarily good with dealing with technology.
Yeah, and it's kind of an ongoing thing. I mean, we're, I think, good at using some technology. But just having to, in some cases, there's a lot that's thrown out at us. We actually ended up going. There's this conference out there that's, you know, going around to a lot of the different cities that is kind of marketing technology, all types of technology to realtors.
You're talking about
Explode,
aren't you?
What do you know about it? Talk about it. I want you to talk about it. What do you know about it?
What, Explode? Yeah, we can. But we're at break time, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
I will after the commercial break.
Okay. We are going to take a break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I'm here with Burton Kelso, the technology expert. The number is 516-387-1944 if you have questions for Burton. 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Swiffer is redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I am here with Burton Kelso, our Tech Thursday guru, who's given us the lay of the land in terms of technology. So, what can you tell me, Burton?
About Explode?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a technology-based conference that definitely shows, it's geared towards the real estate industry, and it's geared to help realtors get more from the technology that they use. They have vendors that come out and offer different products as far as helping you with contact management, helping you with SEO optimization and websites and social media. So that's pretty much the gist of it. The Explode conference that I went to here in Kansas City wasn't geared so much as the how-tos to help realtors get more from the technology that they use. It was more about different products that they were offering that would help real estate agents make more money. So not necessarily, here's how you need to use the equipment you need to get as a realtor, especially if you have a mobile business, but more along the lines of here's some contact management software, here's some, we can help you optimize your website and maintain your website and your social media campaign and your email marketing campaign. So that was my experience.
I know we got off of what you originally were going to talk about, but I just wanted to get your take.
Yeah, we've got a couple of more ways that hackers can get your information. So
right. So I just want to go back to that.
Yeah. Yep. So another one is spying. And I know that sounds kind of funny, right? But, you know, if you go into large areas, you know, there are people there that are spying on other people's devices to see how to get into them, and then they take them. So, like, if you've got an Android phone and you use a key pattern, you could have someone spy what your pattern is on your Android phone and then get into it to get information there. Same thing with your key code with your smartphone. And take it a step further, like if you're at your favorite retail shop and you decide to pay with your debit card as debit as opposed to credit, you know, there's people that will spy on your key number as well, too, with the hopes of getting your debit card to make unauthorized purchases. And if someone gets a hold of your device or if you click on a link that you shouldn't, you could have keylogger software installed, which will automatically keep track of all the keys that you punch on your keyboard so that people can get to know what passwords you log on to get on specific websites.
Okay.
And then finally, the last one is guessing. Just simply guessing your password. And the problem is with us being human beings, we tend to go with passwords that relate to things that we are emotionally attached to, like children or dogs or birthdays. And in this day of social media, we start sharing that same information out on social media. So it's not hard for someone to guess your password if you're using passwords that are related to the stuff that pulls on your heartstrings.
So now let me ask you this too. Aren't there programs that take your personal information and kind of, or am I just getting this off of some movie or whatever, but programs that can kind of, I guess, calculate based on the information you give, what your password might be, for example, if you have children and your children's, you know, birth dates or such a thing and their children's name or whatever, they can come up with a variety of different combinations and you just go out of those combinations in order to try to figure out what the password is?
No. The cyber criminal organizations, like, they will have people that will look at social media accounts. So I guess if you consider that a program, then
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so they have people that, okay. Right.
They have people that's all they do day long is go through social media accounts and just try to figure out what someone's password would be. That's your job when you go in the office. So rather than you selling home, it would be like, hey, G, your numbers are down. We need you to scan more social media accounts and get some more passwords.
Yes, so we have smart people out there using their powers for evil versus good. That's just too bad.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but the main thing with passwords and the online stuff is that you don't have to overcomplicate it. I mean, it's just simply just using different long and strong passwords with a combination. Well, actually, the best passwords to use right now are passphrases. Like two unrelated words that don't relate to you that you could use in order to keep people out of your stuff. So, like, if you use the password like, I'm trying to think, not Rusty Gate, but like Rusty Chicken and then put some numbers behind it, that would be an example of a good passphrase.
Okay.
Or you could say use a word like smart and then brick and then like maybe 2018. And if you notice on some of the brands of routers that they sell, like especially Netgear for years has been using passphrases on their equipment. And I know our new Spectrum equipment, they have a passphrase as far as the login to the router as well. So passphrases are really stepping up. So I would encourage everyone out there to utilize a passphrase and just get away from the old standard passwords because passphrases are easy to remember. Because you're using two words that memorizing two words is better than memorizing a combination of letters and numbers.
Yeah. Now, a lot of times when you get these devices or you get these apps or whatever and you're trying to make up a password, they'll send you a password suggestion.
Right.
A lot of times I look at it and it's like, that's not something I would ever use, and that's something else I've got to memorize or whatever. And the other thing that concerns me is that because they are suggesting it, that it might be something that they, you know, could use against me, I guess. So is it when that opportunity is offered, is it a good idea to use what's suggested or to go with something else that's your own and that's original?
You can go with suggested. Some companies have software that will just randomly generate a password. So it's not like people on their end will ever see it. that it just randomly just throws a password out there and then you can use it. Now, some companies will throw out a temporary password, and then you're forced to go in and actually change the password. So, but if you get a randomly generated password, it's safe to go ahead and use it. It's not like they're going to go, ha, 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 we're going to log in later and get your stuff. It doesn't work like that.
So. Okay.
And companies have to do that, too, because you always have to worry about your employees. So, obviously, if it throws a password out there that an employee sees, then it takes the risk of someone trying to get into your account. But if it just throws a randomly generated password that an employee doesn't see, then it helps protect the company, which is what they want, and it helps protect you as well. Because obviously most companies don't want to be that company that was breached or they had some naughty employee that was doing something that they weren't supposed to do.
Okay. I guess I have to be a little less suspicious, I guess, or a little less paranoid or whatever the case may be. But
that's good checks and balances to have a little paranoia about you, you know?
Yeah. So any last tips? We've got a couple of minutes that you got for us.
We got Earth Day coming up in a couple of days, don't we? Yeah, on the 22nd. So,
okay.
Yeah, be sure to recycle your stuff. And before you recycle anything electronic, make sure that you go through and wipe your devices and make sure that you're not giving out any data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Earth Day, people are always wanting to get rid of junk. But
yeah,
obviously many people don't know how to get rid of that junk. So to make it quick and simple, if you reset your stuff back to factory default, then it definitely will wipe all that data off, like, say, your smartphone or your tablets and even your computers. It'll wipe those items clean enough that you can take it to a recycling center and then you can be done with it.
Okay. All right. That's where I was going to ask you, too. Where do you take it? Because a lot of times people don't know where to take it if it ends up out on the curb or somewhere that it doesn't belong. So,
I mean,
where do you take it?
You set it on the curb, but probably one of the best places to take those electronics would be like, say, a Best Buy or Goodwill. They take those items.
Oh, yeah.
And, or you can just Google recycling center, and then you can trust that they'll take your items for you.
Right. Because I do know that Best Buy has like a bin for like old batteries and stuff like that you can – I think cables too or something
right
in front of the store. Yeah, so that's always good.
That's a good place
Mr. Burton, thanks. Huh?
I said, yeah, Best Buy is a good place to take it. So, yeah, take it there.
Yeah. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter weekend. Happy Easter season. Thanks again for joining us. Really appreciate it. And how can people find you? That's what I want you to tell everybody real quick.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on all over social media, so just look for Burton Kelso on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. I'm all over the place. So follow me and keep up and get some good tech tips.
Really appreciate it. Thanks so much. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a blessed day, everybody. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Heart is a house for love, and I've learned that it don't take much to build. Two wrongs don't make it right.